Good morning, and please turn back to Daniel chapter 2. If you've closed it, it's page 885 in the Bibles here. And let me lead us in prayer as we begin. Just before I do that, let me just say it's a real privilege to be back here with you all. I was back here over the summer, and just again reflecting back, and there's lots and lots of people here that I'm really grateful for, who served me over many years ago. So it's really wonderful to be back with you and open this passage with you. Shall we pray as we come to this passage? Our Father, we thank you so much that you are the God who speaks. Thank you that you spoke in power to Daniel and his friends. Thank you that you are the God who still speaks today through your words. And we pray, Father, that you would give us hearts to hear your voice, and that you would speak to us and encourage us and comfort us and challenge us and rebuke us and give us all that we need to live as people who trust you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, what do you have written on your calendar? Maybe you have one a bit like this that hangs in your kitchen. Maybe you use one of these little pocket diaries that fits in your pocket more easily. Perhaps you've got an electronic like me and your calendar is on your phone. Whatever you use, just picture it for a minute in your mind and just think, what have you got written on your calendar? What does tomorrow and next week and next month have in store? What does the future hold? Perhaps something good like family coming to visit or a holiday. Maybe something you're dreading, like a doctor's appointment or a visit to the dentist. Maybe someone's birthday that you need to remember to send a card for. What is written in your calendar? What does tomorrow and next week and next month have in store? What does the future hold? My calendar's on my phone, as I said, and if you look, you'll see that little bit of red. That's a test tomorrow. That's not great. Flick to October. Or I read that little bit of yellow, if you can see that. That's when our baby's due. What do you have in your calendar? What does the future hold? Well, whatever we have written in our calendars, the reality is that actually none of us know what's coming, do we? We write things in, but what does the future actually hold? And that holiday you've got booked, whenever it might be, will you have to cancel last minute because of an emergency that you didn't expect? You hope not, but we don't know, do we? And the doctor's appointment you've got booked in, what are they going to say? We don't know. Our baby's due in October, how will that go? We just don't know. Whatever we have written in our calendars, whatever you write in your diary, the reality is that actually none of us know what is coming. The truth is that when it comes to the future, we're all in the dark, aren't we? So actually, it can be hard as you look ahead, and whatever you've got coming up, whether it's health concerns, or a particular person you're worried for, or some other kind of uncertainty about the future, will everything be okay? We just don't know, do we? As a nation, there's real uncertainty. We've just been praying for that, which is brilliant, but what is going to happen? We just don't know. This week, the government published their worst-case no-deal scenario, didn't they? And all sorts of things might or might not go wrong. And as for you as a church, as you look to the future, there's uncertainty, isn't there? What does the long-term hold? We make plans, we write things in our diaries, but the truth is, when it comes to the future, we're all in the dark. And so Daniel chapter 2 is exactly what we need this morning. Because the people Daniel was first written for faced uncertainty on all those kinds of levels. As Tony said last week, Daniel's from a time called the exile, when the Old Testament people of Israel were conquered by the Babylonians and taken away. So politically, there was huge uncertainty. Everything they knew had fallen apart. Personally, for many of the people, like Daniel and his friends, they're taken hundreds of miles away to Babylon. Personally, the future was fearful and unknown. And spiritually too, the people of God were scattered and leaderless. What did the future hold? Daniel chapter 2 is exactly what we need, but it's not just for us here this morning. it's also for everyone around us who isn't here this morning. Just look back at chapter 2 and verse 4, just at the top on the right-hand page, and look at the middle of verse 4. You'll see a little letter C, a footnote there. So look down to the bottom of the page, the bottom of page 885, and the little letter C, number 4, tells us that the original text from this point isn't in Hebrew like the rest of the Old Testament, but it's in, it says, in Aramaic, which in their day was like the global language. So a bit like English is today, it's a kind of language that many people around the world, all sorts of different countries, would speak. And it's written in Aramaic because these chapters aren't just for God's people, not just for those who go to church on Sunday mornings, but these chapters are as much for our neighbours, for our friends, for our colleagues, our family. So if you're here this morning as someone who isn't a Christian, then wherever you're coming from, this chapter was as much written for you. So let's hear what God says about the future. There's just 2 points for us. And firstly, we're shown that the future is in darkness. The future is in darkness. Let's read from verse 1 again. Chapter 2, verse 1. In the second year of his reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. His mind was troubled and he could not sleep. So verse 2, he calls his wise guys. Verse 2, the king summoned the magicians, enchanters, sorcerers and astrologers to tell him what he had dreamed. And verse 3, he says, I have had a dream that troubles me and I want to know what it means. So verse 4, they ask the obvious question. Verse 4, tell your servants the dream. And we will interpret it. Because these magicians and astrologers, they're the wise guys of their day. By their knowledge and their art, they would have predicted the future. And we in the 21st century may look down on magic and astrology and things, but we have wise guys in our day too, don't we? We have journalists and economists and politicians and pollsters, who by their knowledge of current affairs and their reading of history and their economic projections and their political polling tell us what they think will happen. And their projections may sometimes be slightly more scientific than magic, but even the wise guys of our day don't actually know the future any more than these magicians or astrologers. That's exactly why, isn't it? Journalists and economists can disagree so strongly about the future. Because point one, the future is in darkness. And verse 5, Nebuchadnezzar isn't playing along. Verse 5, the king replied to the astrologers, this is what I have firmly decided. If you do not tell me what my dream was and interpret it, I will have you cut into pieces and your houses turned into piles of rubble. But if you tell me the dream and explain it, you will receive from me gifts and rewards and great honor. They don't find that very helpful. So verse 7, they try again. They replied, let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will interpret it. So verse 9, Nebuchadnezzar says why he's not playing ball. Verse 9, if you do not tell me the dream, there is only one penalty for you. You have conspired to tell me misleading and wicked things, hoping the situation will change. So then tell me the dream, and I will know you can interpret it for me. Nebuchadnezzar doesn't trust them. They claim to look at signs and use their wisdom and experience and skill to announce the future, but he knows they're just guessing. He knows that if he tells them the dream, they'll make up some meaning to go with it. So he says, look, let's imagine that you could tell him what his dream was without him saying. That would prove, wouldn't it, that they were for real. But he knows they're not. Look at the middle of verse 9 again. He says, you've conspired to tell me misleading and wicked things, hoping the situation will change. And couldn't we say something similar about many of the wise guys of our age, the journalists, the pollsters, the politicians, the economists, who announce the future so confidently, who sometimes deliberately, as he says, conspire to mislead, or sometimes just tell people what they want to hear, and claim that, look, if we make this choice or that choice, the future will be wonderful or it will be terrible. And claim that their experience and history and wisdom and economic calculations and opinion polls are on their side. But the wise guys of our day don't actually know the future any more than the wise men of Babylon did. Because point one, the future is in darkness. But it's not just the wise men of Babylon and the wise men of Britain that God exposes in this chapter, but Nebuchadnezzar himself is shown up, because he's the most powerful man in the world. Look down again, verse 1, he's named Nebuchadnezzar, so we remember who he is. But then look again, verse 2, he's the king. And end of verse 2, the king. And verse 4, they address him. May the king live forever. He's got all the titles and the trappings of power, and he tries to put them to work. Look at verse 5, his threat. Verse 5, if you do not tell me my dream, I will have you cut into pieces and your houses turned into piles of rubble. And he's not joking. He has such power that he could have these people killed and demolish their houses above them simply for not telling him his dream. That is serious, scary power, isn't it? But on the other hand, verse 6, look down. If you tell me the dream and explain it, you will receive from me gifts and rewards and great honor. He's the most powerful man on earth with the biggest threats and the biggest incentives, and he tries to use them all to force the future out into the light, but it makes no difference at all. Because point one, the future is in darkness. Just look at their response in verse 10. Verse 10, the astrologers answered, there is no one on earth who can do what the king asks. No king, however great or mighty, has ever asked such a thing of any magician or enchanter. What the king asks is too difficult. No one can reveal it to the king except the gods, and they do not live among humans. The future is in the dark. To the wise guys of their age and of our age, and even to the most powerful man on earth, even he has no power over the future. No one can know his dream. No one can say what it means. Now, whatever we write in our calendars, whatever you put in your diary, none of us know what will happen. We make plans, but in reality, we're just staring into darkness. And verse 12, this made the king so angry and furious, he ordered the execution of all the wise men of Babylon. Just like a little kid who's been told no, or a leader who doesn't get his way, Nebuchadnezzar throws his toys out the pram. But when he's an absolute ruler who's just threatened death, that's bad news. And verse 13, so the decree was issued to put the wise men to death. And men were sent to look for Daniel and his friends to put them to death. So for whatever reason, Daniel and his friends weren't at this first meeting with Nebuchadnezzar, but they're still in danger. But verse 14, look down, see how different Daniel's response is to Nebuchadnezzar's. He flipped out in anger, but verse 14, when Arioch, the commander of the king's guard, had gone out to put to death the wise men of Babylon, Daniel spoke to him with wisdom and tact. He asked the king's officer, why did the king issue such a harsh decree? Arioch explained the matter to Daniel. At this, Daniel went in to the king and asked for time so he might interpret the dream for him. Then Daniel returned to his house and explained the matter to his friends. Daniel doesn't panic or lash out. Verse 14, he asks with wisdom and tact. Verse 15, he calmly asks for time. Then verse 17, he goes home, he tells his friends. Because while we can write what we like in our calendars, still point one, the future is in the dark. Although the most powerful man on earth and the wisest magicians and astrologers and journalists and politicians cannot know the future, point two of our passage, Daniel knows that God has it covered. The future is in the dark, but God has it covered. And that's why, verse 18, they don't panic or despair or lash out or run and hide or any of the things that we do when we realize we can't control the future, because they know God has it covered. So verse 18, look down. He urged them, verse 18, to plead for mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so he and his friends might not be executed with the rest. No threats or guesswork, no astrology or magic, no economic theory or political polling can know the future. But verse 19, during the night, the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision. Then Daniel praised the God of heaven. God has it covered. Because look at the end of verse 20. God has both wisdom and power. So he knows stuff and he controls stuff. And Nebuchadnezzar didn't know the future and his power couldn't get it for him. But God has real power and real wisdom. Look at verse 21 to see his power. He changes times and seasons. He deposes kings and raises up others. The most powerful men and women in our world are put in power and taken out of power by God more easily than I pulled the paper off that calendar. God has the future covered. And he has real wisdom and knowledge. Verse 22, look down. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells with him. To us, the future is in darkness. But God can see it all. And he has the future covered because he writes it, he rules it, and when he chooses, he can reveal it. So Daniel doesn't worry or flip out or panic. Verse 23, he thanks God and praises God. And then I imagine pretty quickly, verse 24, he went to tell the king he's got the answer so the death squad can stand down. But even then, verse 25, Arioch still hasn't quite got the point here. Just look at verse 25, bottom right-hand corner, verse 25. Arioch took Daniel to the king at once and said, I have found a man among the exiles from Judah who can tell the king what his dream means. The king asked Daniel, are you able to tell me what I saw in my dream and interpret it? Do you see what Arioch gets wrong? He says, verse 25, I have found a man who can tell the king what his dream means. And Nebuchadnezzar asked Daniel, are you able to tell me? But Daniel isn't the hero of this chapter, or even of this whole book that has his name. And so as you go through this book as a church, you'll see Daniel and his friends do some pretty epic things that they're famous for. But the point of this book isn't to show how great they were. It's not to say, look, if we try a bit harder to be like them, we can be as amazing as Daniel. No, the hero of this book is God. Daniel and his friends only do epic things because they know who God is. The point of this book isn't to try and live like Daniel, but to believe what Daniel believed about the God who has the future covered. And Daniel himself here points Nebuchadnezzar and us away from himself and to God. Look down at verse 27. At the bottom of the page, Daniel replies, verse 27, no wise man, enchanter, magician, or diviner can explain to the king the mystery he has asked about. He echoes what the wise men of Babylon said in verse 10. The future really is in the dark. None of us can guarantee any of the entries on our diaries. No politician can tell us what will or won't happen. No economist can project the future. No journalist can tell us the way things are going to turn out. We're all just groping in the dark. But, Daniel says, verse 28, just over the page, verse 28, there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. He has shown Nebuchadnezzar what will happen in days to come. To us, the future is in darkness, but God has it covered. But you may be asking, okay, it's great to say that, but how do I know that God has it covered? And maybe you're a Christian here and you really do want to trust God with the future, with whatever small things or big things you're burdened by. As a church, I guess you want to trust God with the future. But how do we know he has it covered? Is the point of this that if we pray like Daniel, and then God will tell us what our dreams mean or what our future holds? Or maybe you're here and you're a bit more skeptical. You're not sure if you even believe in this God, or if you can trust him with anything. And this stuff about the meaning of dreams and saying God knows the future just sounds a bit like make-believe. But this is where the rest of this chapter comes in. And you'll look at this a bit more in a few weeks when you pick up this chapter, but let's just follow through this dream briefly, because it shows us how we know that God really has the future covered. Let me read on from verse 31. Here's what he dreamed. Verse 31. Your majesty looked, and there before you stood a large statue. And verse 32, the head of the statue was made of pure gold. its chest and arms of silver, its belly and thighs of bronze. Verse 33, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of clay. While you were watching, a rock was cut out, but not by human hands. It struck the statue on its feet of iron and clay and smashed them. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were all broken to pieces. But end of verse 35, but the rock that struck the statue became a huge mountain and filled the whole earth. So in his dream, Nebuchadnezzar saw a statue made of all these different materials. Then a rock smashed the statue and became a mountain that filled the earth. And verse 37, Daniel explains what this dream means. Verse 37, Your Majesty, you are the King of Kings. The God of heaven has given you dominion and power and might and glory. And so, end of verse 38, you are that head of gold. Then verse 39, After you, another kingdom will arise inferior to yours. Next, a third kingdom, one of bronze. And then verse 40, finally, there will be a fourth kingdom, strong as iron, for iron smashes everything and breaks and smashes everything. And then just jump on to verse 44 across the column. In the time of those kings, verse 44, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed, nor will it be left to another people. It will crush all those kingdoms and bring them to an end, but it will itself endure forever. This is the meaning of the vision of the rock cut out of a mountain, but not by human hands. So to us, the future is in darkness, but God's got it covered. Or at least the future was in darkness, but now God has told Daniel and us what's coming. He doesn't promise to tell us everything we might want to know. He's not saying that if we ask like Daniel, he'll tell us specific details about our lives. Instead, the point is that God has revealed the one thing Daniel and his friends and we need to know. That human kingdoms will come and go, but God will set up a kingdom that will never fall. And we can know for sure that God really does know and rule the future. Because whereas Daniel and his friends back then just looked forward to this promise, we can look back in history. And it's incredible, we can see these four empires play out. So the Babylonians, as Daniel says, then you've got the Persian Empire, then the Greek Empire, and then the Roman Empire, just as God said they would, centuries before. He really does rule and know the future. But more than that, we can look back and see that during this fourth kingdom of iron, the Roman Empire, God did exactly what he promised. He set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed. He sent his king, Jesus, into this world. And if you're skeptical or wavering, just look again at the pages of the Gospels and see firsthand the God who rules and knows the future become man. God isn't promising to tell us every detail that we might like to know about the future. But he does promise that if we stand with Jesus and follow him, then we don't need to know what the doctor will say, or whether that holiday will happen, or how it will go with our baby, or with our country. Because all those things will come and go. But if we're with Jesus, we're part of the one thing that will stand forever. I bought this calendar in Poundland on Friday. But it wasn't until I opened it that I saw what it had written on the other side. It says, it will all work out. Will it? If you don't know Jesus, the King, if you're not part of the one kingdom which will stand forever, to say it will all work out, it's just wishful thinking, isn't it? It's just telling people what they want to hear. Just like the wise men of Babylon were going to do to Nebuchadnezzar. It's actually a big fat lie. But they still print calendars like this because that's the best people can do. But if you're a Christian, if you're a follower of Jesus, then you are part of the one kingdom that will stand forever. And so in fact, only Christians can really have calendars, the calendars that say it will all work out. And so why not go home and write those words on your calendar? Maybe over things that you're worried about or concerned about. It will all work out. Not because it's wishful thinking like the world comes up with, but because even though the future is dark to us, God has it covered. Now, it may not work out as we expect or as we choose. It rarely does. And we don't need to know everything. We want to know everything, don't we? Because we want to be in control. But we only need to know that God knows everything and that he's in control and that he has it covered. And he has included us in a kingdom that will never pass away. And so we can leave the future with him. Now let me pray and pray that we'd trust him with that. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you so much that you are the God who holds times and seasons in your hands, that you raise up rulers and you bring them down, that you have all wisdom and all knowledge of the past and the present and the future. Our Lord, we're sorry that we often want to know everything because we want to be in control. And we pray that you would remind us day by day that you are the one who knows all things and rules all things, and that we would be able to trust that you have the future covered, whatever it might bring. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.